Okay, so good morning, everybody. So it is 11 o'clock here in New York, and we are officially starting our Power Hour coaching call. And I want to welcome everybody that's on the call. We have a lot, some new people from different parts of the country, so I want to welcome you. And I'm going to go over some ground rules with you, so that way you understand the purpose of this call. Now, there's a couple of logistic things too. Now, some of you are new power agents, so let me just take a couple of minutes to welcome the new power agents and give them a sense of what we do. Every month, I do these live calls, and the purpose of these calls are basically two things. Number one is to go over some of the things that are in the magazine. There's a digital magazine that you have access to, which we'll talk about in just a second. The second part, and most important, is to give you some coaching on something that you need specific. Now, we have an hour, and I'm going to tell you something. What you're going to notice, and I've said this to people before, people are like voyeurs on this call, meaning that they're usually pretty quiet, and they don't. I'm just amazed at how many times people do not take this opportunity to ask me a question to help improve their business. So the really smart agents do. The smart agents say, "All right, listen, I've got Daryl for an hour. Let me ask him something that's going to help improve my business, improve my skill, and make more money." So hopefully I got a lot of smart people on the call. Now, right now I can't hear you. Right now we've muted the call, and the reason why we've done that is to get a really good quality call. So I'm going to tell you how to unmute yourself. And here's how you do that. If you want to interject, you want to ask me a question, anything like that, what you need to do is hit star six on your keypad one time. Now, when you do that, it takes just about 10 seconds for it to actually work. There's a delayed reaction, so don't do it more than once. So when you hit star six one time, it will unmute you, and I'll be able to hear you and I can talk. And then when it's time to mute you back, then you hit star six a second time, and then it'll put you back on mute. So what I want you to do is I want you to start to think about right now, gang, what is it that you're working in your business that you're having a struggle with that you want some personal help? At the beginning of this call, before some of you called in, one of our power agents, Estelle, asked me a question about, expireds. When you're calling expireds, how do you prevent them from hanging up when you call them? So that's one of the questions I'm going to handle. And also, Manny Bernardo, she had sent me an email re on the fa on the Power Program website asking me a question. So I'm going to handle hers too, and anybody else. So, all right. So that's it as far as the logistics. So what we're going to do is a couple other things. We are recording the call. So at the end of the call, in a few days, we'll wind up posting this recording on the website so you can listen to it again. I will tell you, the last month's call that we did, we did a lot about calling FSBOs, and we actually role-played that. So if anybody wants to hear me going through the FSBO call and record, you should really listen to that. You should really listen to that. I can't help that. Sorry, just got a note. So there's a dinging sound that somebody said is really loud. We can't help that. We have no control over that. Anyway, so if you want to listen to me role-playing calling a for sale by owner, that was on last month's call, and that was pretty cool. Let's see, anything else? I'm just looking at my notes. All right, super. So what we're going to do first is I want to get into the questions that you guys have, and then we'll go into the magazine and give you some ideas to help improve yourself on a listing appointment. By the way, the magazine is on the Power Program website. So if you go to thepowerprogram.com is the Power Agent website. And the only way you get access to some of the things that I'm going to talk about on this call is you have to have your username and password. Now, for some reason, if you lost it, it's in your spam folder. Check there, email us saying that you don't have it, and we'll get it to you, but after the call. We're not going to do it now during the call. All right, so I think that's all that I got for you guys. And as the call progresses, we're going to hear less of the dingings that you guys have been hearing. So that's every time you hear a ding, that's somebody calling in. So we have a lot of people calling in late. Okay. Hey, Manny, Bernardo, are you on the call? Manny, if you are, I want you to hit star 6 one time on your keypad and just give it about 5-10 seconds and it'll kick in. So, Manny, are you on the call? And if she is, and I'm going to tell you guys what her question was and how to deal with that problem. And then, Estelle, you're going to be up. The rest of you, I want you to start thinking about what you want to ask me. Manny, are you there? Okay, she's not. So, gang, here's what Manny asked me. She said, what is the most effective way of introducing yourself to a prospect if you're just new in real estate and have not done a sale yet? What script can you use when you're asked how long you've been in the business and how many houses have you sold? So this obviously is specific to anybody that is new in real estate, but I'm going to answer it so everybody can get value. One of the most important things in getting listings, especially when you're talking to FSBOs and expireds, is you have to ooze confidence. The moment that homeowners are like dogs, they can smell fear. You know, just imagine if you went into a yard and you were afraid of a dog. The dog's probably going to get aggressive with you. They're not going to trust you. Some of them will even bark at you or even bite you, worst case scenario. Well, a listing appointment is the same way. I want you to imagine when you walk into a home that you're walking into a yard and these homeowners are dogs. And if you don't ooze with confidence, it's going to impact the whole conversation. They're going to not trust you. If they don't trust you, they start asking questions like how long you've been doing real estate. So let me share something with you that really helped me. The first year that I was speaking, I'll never forget this. I was in Wilmington, Delaware. Now, I've been in a lot of cities, but this one sticks out for me. And if you've never been to Wilmington, Delaware, it's really, you know, it's a major city for Delaware, but it's still small compared to most. And I remember it because it was the night before I was going to be teaching my first real estate seminar that wasn't in my backyard where I had friends that would support me. So I was walking into, you know, this audience, and I was so nervous. I cannot tell you. I was never so nervous my whole entire life. I called a speaker friend of mine, and here's what he said to me, and I'll never forget. His name's Gary Sisson. And Gary said to me the night before, he says, Daryl, you do not have to know everything about real estate when you're in front of those people. All you have to know and be so confident at is the 3 hours you're about to teach them. So don't think you've got to know 300 hours or 30 hours of material. You just got to know those 3 hours better than they know it. And the question is, Daryl, do you know your 3 hours? And when he asked me that question, I said, absolutely. I've been practicing and rehearsing this over and over again. He said, well, that's it. Just stand in that confidence that you know that 3 hours better than your audience. And that sticks with me. That was back in 1990. So that's a long time ago, and I'll never forget that. So, gang, here's my point. When you go into a listing appointment, you don't have to be a total expert about everything. But you have to feel confident about that listing conversation. Whatever you design, know it so well that it'll empower you and have that confidence. So that's my first thing. The second thing for new agents, what you may want to do is, if you're really concerned about that, is go with another agent with you that is experienced. So in the beginning, as you start to get listings and sales, you can break away from that agent. But up until that point, you can find somebody who's experienced, that has confidence, that has a track record, so you don't have to worry about that question. But I will tell you, going back to the first part that I said, when you are really confident in a listing appointment, now, by the way, my listing appointments took me 2 hours. And the reason why it took 2 hours is because it included the touring time. I didn't do two-stop approaches. I didn't go there, look at the house, and leave, and then go do a CMA and go back to the house and then present the CMA. I did it all in 2 hours. And I knew that 2 hours better than that homeowner. It gave me confidence. And in the beginning part of my business, where I didn't have a lot of sales and I didn't have a lot of listings, I didn't get the question, how long you been in real estate or how many sales have you made? And I believe the reason why I didn't get that question is because of the confidence. There was something else, too, that helped me. You know, I was very active in RPAC. I was very active in my board. So I have, for example, one of the pictures that I had that I showed the homeowner and explaining at the beginning of my conversation. And by the way, let me interrupt myself. When you put your listing conversation together, I believe the best formula is the first part of the conversation should be about your credibility. The second part is about your company's credibility. And then the third part is the actual listing appointment, which is your marketing tools that you use, brokers open house, public open house, etc. Now, let me distinguish something for you guys that's real that I think is important, because most agents confuse what I just said. The second part that talks about your company, first part is you, second part is your company, third part is your marketing. Sometimes agents will include in the part about the company things that the company does to promote their sellers. So, for example, if they run print advertising or they have television show that they do, commercials, so they'll have that or their internet website. So they'll think they're talking about the company in Section 2, but the truth is that would go into Section 3. Those are marketing tools that you and your company use to get a house promoted and sold. So to help distinguish it, the third section of your listing conversation, which is in a book format, that third section is anything that benefits the seller in getting the property sold. The second section about your company are the things that add credibility to who the company is. For example, how long they've been around, how many offices they have. If you only you have one office, how many agents you have. A story about the broker. Why did the broker open up this company? What was the broker's background? What is your market share? How many listings do you have now? What's your days on market? Which is very powerful. These are things that add credibility to the company. You know, if your days on market, meaning the average home sells in your company, above average for your the other offices and other companies in your market or in your MLS, you should share that kind of information. I'll also say in Section 2 about your company, it's really powerful, valuable, in my opinion, it's having graphs. Like if you could graph out, like when I went on a listing appointment, I showed where our office was in listings because we were the number one listing office in the marketplace, and we were also the number one sales office in our marketplace. So I had a graph that showed our company name, the second company position, third company, fourth company, and it was a visual representation on how much further we were than just the second company following us. So wherever you can do graphs, that's a good thing. Another thing to tell you is in creating market share and sales, like presenting that to a homeowner, sometimes more than one company will say they're number one in listings or they're number one in days on market or something like that. And so there might be a couple of companies saying this. So how can two companies be number one? Well, here's how it is. It's based on the data and the time frame. So, you know, last year, or let's say, what is this now, September? So let's say from January to September, your company is not the number one office as far as listings, days on market, or any of those stats. But you might be number one in the last 90 days, the last 60 days, you know, during a summertime period. So usually you can tweak the numbers to become number one in something. And I'm not saying that's out of integrity. You're clearly communicating, this is the time frame, here's what we captured, here's what we discovered. So, and where you get that information is from your MLS. All right, so I'm adding a lot of material to make sure everybody gets value, but I'm going to go back to Mennie's question, and I hope I'm saying her name right, M-E-N-N-I-E. So Mennie, the more confident you are, the less chance of getting the question of how long you've been in real estate or how many houses you sold. Now, if you still get that question, so this is for all the new agents, If you get that question, no matter what I just said, I have an answer for you what to say. And then Estelle, I'm going to come to you. So Estelle, get ready. And I'll tell you how to unmute yourself in a second. So what I would say to the homeowner is that if they ask me, well, Daryl, how many houses have you sold and how long have you been in real estate? This is what I would say. Well, Mr. and Mrs. Seller, before I answer you this, let me just say that, say something. And that is, for me to get licensed in the state of New York, before I can even start to practice real estate, I have to go through, gang, I don't know what the number is. I think it's 70 hours, so whatever your state is. So before I can even practice real estate, I have to take 70 hours. Then after that, I figured that I went through another 20 hours of training in the field, plus at my board, learning all of the other things that needs to be learned in order to list and sell real estate in Long Island. So right out the gate, I have 90 hours, which most homeowners have not experienced that 90 hours of education. With that said, because I've just started in real estate, I haven't produced any sales. But let me just tell you this. I am so committed to doing a fabulous job with you because I don't get paid until I do my job. When the house sells is when I get paid. So if I'm going to do all this work, I need to make sure that it's going to be successful. I also need your testimonial. And if it's okay with you, I'm going to ask that of you at the end of our relationship. So that way that'll help build my business. And if there's still any apprehension, what I'm willing to do is if you commit to this, then I'm going to also sign a withdrawal form, meaning that if any time during our listing agreement and our relationship that you don't feel I'm working beyond your expectations, I've already signed this withdrawal form. It's unconditional, and you can fire me at any time. Now, no agent would do that in our market, but the reason why I'm willing to do that is because I want you to know that once you commit to me, I'm going to every day wake up thinking about what can I do to help get Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana's house sold. And I'm going to do this for you, and I'm going to be successful with it. So that's how I would handle that if you got that question. Okay, hope that helped you. I hope that helped everybody on the call. I love that idea about signing a withdrawal form. I mean, what homeowner wouldn't take that? That's because most agents wouldn't do that, and I think that's a great technique. All right, Estelle, what I'm going to do is work with you now. So, Estelle, what you're going to do is hit *6 one time on your keypad, and then it'll just be you and me. Now, once you do that, it's going to take a second for it to work. Are you there, Estelle? Hello, Estelle. Are you there with me? Hey, I may have lost Estelle. Okay, so Estelle, *6 one time, and you should be able to unmute yourself. All right, so gang, here's what Estelle, are you there, Estelle?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yes, thank you, hon. Okay, great. So let's talk about this. And by the way, do you have me on a speakerphone? If you do, take me off. It'll be better for both of us. Just pick up the handset. Yeah, just pick up the handset or it's all right, gang. Be patient. And Estelle, if you can't figure it out, don't worry. Let's just continue. All right?
Okay.
All right. That's good. All right. So Estelle, so ask me the question again and let's do this.
Okay. What I'd like to know is when you're calling on the expired, oftentimes you can't even, hardly get your name out there and they're hanging
okay.
up. So
okay.
how do you, what kind of a lead in to your call?
Okay. Well, if it's okay with you, Estelle, what I like to do is to really answer your question is to role play with you and you be the seller that's going to hang up on me, okay? Can we do that?
Okay. Sure.
Okay, great. So, hang on one second because I feel like I'm getting a little static here. Hang on a second, Estelle. I'm sorry, gang. Sometimes technology is great when it works. And not when it doesn't. Hang on, Estelle. I'm going to ask you to do that *6 again. I'm going to try something. I may have to mute you again. Hang on one second.
Okay.
No, I think we're good. Okay. So, Estelle, You be the expired. I'm calling you, okay? So ring, ring.
Good morning.
Yes, hi. May I speak with Estelle, please?
Yes, this is Estelle.
Estelle, hi. This is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. The reason why I was calling is I noticed your house had expired off the multiple listing, and I was wondering, is the house still for sale?
No, we took it off because we're just tired of the whole process, and we're not getting any results.
Wow. Well, you know what? I'm looking at a copy of the listing, and I'm a little surprised that it didn't sell. Why do you think it is?
I just think it's a slow market, and so we'll just wait. I'm real tired of having to, you know, keep the house absolutely spotless and then not even have any showings.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what, I can just imagine what it is when you're, I mean, I'm always on the other side, but when a homeowner, I do know that that's such a pain in the butt to, you got to keep you feel like you've always got to keep it in perfect condition, like every day is a holiday and you're having guests come over.
Yeah, that gets old.
I'm so with you. Well, let me ask you, where were you planning on moving to?
There's a lot of new homes in the area, and we really wanted to get into one of the newer homes.
Mm-hmm. Which is there a specific subdivision that you were looking at?
Yeah, it's Ashland Farms.
Oh, those are beautiful houses. Which model were you looking at? Was there a specific one, or no, just any of those over there?
Well, we kind of like the Del Mar model.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I am familiar with that. That's a beautiful model. It's got the three bedrooms and blah blah blah. Okay. So and now how long? I see from the MLS here was on the market for 2 months, and which you know isn't a tremendous amount of time. When were you hoping to make this thing happen? What was your original plan?
Well, the original plan was to get it sold and. You know, a couple of months so that we could, you know, go into this other home without having to put it on contingency.
I see. I see. And did your agent? Go ahead. I'm sorry, Estelle.
That wasn't working out, and so we've just decided we'll stay here for a while. Maybe we'll do some remodeling.
All right. So you're thinking about staying and pumping money into your current house?
Yeah.
Did you get any insights from the agent? What was happening? Why maybe it didn't? Because again, I'm looking at the listing here. It's you're 4 bedroom, 2 bath, and it sounds really beautiful. Did they share with you any reasons why they thought it wasn't selling?
All they ever told me was the price was too high and we need to lower the price. And I think honestly that they should have done a better job marketing my home.
I see. Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, like any profession, doctors, attorneys, sometimes you've got good, better, and best. I mean, they're all good because they went through the pain of education to get the license. But, you know, you get different results with different people. Well, I understand. Let me ask you a question. If it worked for you financially to go to make this move to get your property sold and get into that subdivision and get the house that you want, is that something you would still consider?
I don't know. My husband was so tired of the other, you know, going through what we, you know, just the unknowns and disappointments. I'm not sure I could, you know, get him to talk to anybody else.
I understand. But if it was a perfect situation where it wasn't stressful like it was for you, because I understand that it was, but if it wasn't stressful for you and you can have what you want, which is a new home in that subdivision, because obviously I don't have to tell you, Estelle, if you decide to stay where you are, you know, there's a difference between moving to a home that you design and it's ready for you and you move into it, as opposed to staying where you are. And while you're living in the home doing construction work, you know, that has its own set of challenges and frustration. Do you follow me?
So my
question is if you didn't have to go, if it wasn't frustrating for you, if you could get to where you want to really be and it worked financially, would that be a possibility?
Maybe.
Well, that would you, well, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to, if you don't mind, is to come see what you have, see the inside, because obviously, you know, the paper is just the paper. And if I think that there's a way that you can, you know, get into the home that you really want without the frustration that you experience, I'll tell you. And if I don't think so, I'll tell you. But you've got nothing to lose. I hate for you to kill off your dream just because you had a bad experience the first time around. It could be just like anything else, you know, if you deal with any professional, if you have a bad experience, like if you went on an airplane and you had a bad experience, you don't ever not fly again. You know, I like to just see what you have and see if there is a way I can help you. So would you be offended if I just stopped by to see what you have?
Well, no,
and
I wouldn't
promise
be.
Go ahead, Estelle, I'm sorry.
No, I wouldn't be offended. But,
and I promise you won't have. I promise you won't have to make the beds or get the house ready. instead of thinking of me as a distant cousin that you haven't seen in 10 years, look at me as like your sister that was just over yesterday, and you don't have to worry about the house. All right.
Yeah. Okay.
And I have, now just to get out of role play, I have no idea why I took the persona of a sister versus a brother. I have no idea. I guess I was in touch with my feminine side.
Okay, so
all right.
If you were to stop by, can you just, you know, come without my husband? Because I don't want to put him through this again until I'm pretty sure that you can do what we want.
Yeah, so what I would do is, well, here's what I'd say is, I'm not coming over to list your house, and you can tell your husband that. You know, I just want to come over just really comfortably and just see what you have and just have another quick conversation, you know, about the dollars and if it does make sense. You know, if the agent before said that, you know, it needed to lower the price, and you're saying that, well, maybe they weren't working hard enough. You know, one of those scenarios is true, or it could be a combination of that, right? So what I would do is, I don't need to see the house in its pristine condition. I just want to meet you guys, see what you have. And, you know, if I can help you have your dream happen, that's what I'd love to do for you. And if I can, I'll be honest with you, too, because if I don't think that we can make this happen the way you'd want it to, I'd be wasting my time, not just yours. And that's just bad business for a real estate agent. So, you know, you've got nothing to lose. Just let your husband know that we had this quick conversation. I'm just coming over, not to list it, just to see it and give you some straight, honest advice. Sound good?
Okay. How much time will we need?
That's really up to you. I mean, just to look at the house is going to take 5 minutes. So the conversation part is really up to you.
Okay. And before I, you know, we waste your time,
yeah.
Can you kind of give me an idea if our current price that we had it marketed at, if you believe that it's in the right price range?
Well, if I didn't think that there was something to work with here, I wouldn't have called you in the first place. So that's my answer. My phone call to you already answered that, yeah?
Okay.
All right, great. All right, so I'll see you. So I'll come over, blah, blah. Anyway, so we'll drop the role play. And as a matter of fact, when you and I were joking, Estelle, I was actually not in role play. You shouldn't say some of the things that I just said about taking on a man's persona versus a woman and my feminine side. So that was just, you know, that was Daryl Davis joking. Okay. All right, well, I just wanted to make sure because you jumped right back into role play and you didn't miss a beat. So now, so Estelle, let's look at what I did that might be different than what you have done. How did that work, and how did that help you?
That was helpful, but here's what, you know, you make your calls, and then you just get people, you know, that just say, they just hang up. I'm not interested. You know, it's like another election call, right?
Yeah. Well, let's do it again. Let's do it again, but I want you to do to me what you're saying you're facing.
Okay. Uh-huh.
So that, because that's where you'll see really how I can help you. All right.
Okay.
So let's do it again. And I want you to do what you've gotten before. Okay.
Right.
So, ring, ring.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. May I speak to Estelle, please?
Yes. This is Estelle.
Estelle, hi, this is Daryl Davis from Para Realty. The reason why I was calling is I noticed...
Let me stop right there, Daryl. Let me stop you right there.
Yeah.
Okay? We're not interested.
Well, I'm in what, ma'am? I'm sorry.
We're not interested in talking to any more realtors. We're sick and tired of this, and so I got to go.
All right. So the house, the reason why I was calling, though, is I noticed the listing, and it looked, I wasn't sure if it sold or not, so you're telling me it didn't sell?
No, it didn't, but I got to go. I got an appointment.
All right. Well, can I just ask you one question before I let you go, Estelle? Because I was looking at a copy of the listing, and the house seemed really nice. I was actually surprised that it didn't sell. If we could get it sold for you, would it be something that you'd be interested in?
I don't believe you guys anymore.
You know what? It sounds like you had a bad experience. Am I reading you right, Estelle?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm sorry about that. You know, sometimes when homeowners go through a bad experience, they just make a blanket judgment on everybody, and which is unfortunate because, like any profession, you have good, better, and best, and some agents are better than others. And I'm really, really, really sorry that you obviously had this bad experience. I can tell you, I try not to be like that with my clients. Why do you think the house didn't sell? Because I mean, when I'm looking at the MLS here, it looks really nice, and I'm surprised. What do you think happened?
Okay, Daryl, do you mind if I take us out of role play? I'd like to flip it to a different scenario.
Sure.
Okay. So, ring, ring again.
Sure, ring, ring.
Hello?
Yes, hi, I'm calling about the house for sale. I'm sorry, Estelle, I got thrown. I heard a ding just when you said ring, ring, and that was somebody calling in. And what I started to do is I started to do the FSBO dialogue, which has a different opening. So let me start over again. So ring, ring, answer. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes, hi. May I speak to Estelle, please?
Yes, this is Estelle.
Estelle, hi. This is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks, Daryl. What's on your mind today? Because I'm in a hurry.
Well, the reason why I was calling is I noticed your house had expired off the multiple listing, and I was wondering if it was still for sale.
Yeah, you know, we didn't realize that it had expired, and so we're just going to, you know, get it extended through our current agent.
Oh, okay, good. Well, that's great. Well, I was looking. So you weren't aware that it expired? The agent didn't let you know that?
No, I think everybody's pretty busy, you know.
Well, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but I would hope your agent would not be that busy where they didn't let you know that your house came off the market. Because when it expires, that's actually what happens. That's like 7-Eleven, you know, shutting the doors and locking and the staff doing that, but they don't tell the owner that. So,
sure.
You know, I'm looking at a copy of the listing. The house sounds really nice. How's the activity been?
Well, obviously it hasn't been good enough to get it sold, so.
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at a copy of the listing. It looks really nice. All right, so we can stop the role play because that's going to just continue doing what I'm doing. So you've given me we just role played three times, and what I noticed on each one of those, you didn't hang up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why you didn't hang up is...
A lot of times they do, though. They'll just say, hey, I'm running out the door. Bye.
Yeah,
and
but listen, I understand, but Estelle, you didn't, though. So you played I told you to be the seller and be the type of person that you've been dealing with, and you still didn't hang up. Now, here's why. Either A, you weren't as nasty as some of the other people, or B, and I'm going to suggest it's B, is that I handled it differently than how you handled it, and that's why you didn't hang up the call. Now let me just say one other thing, though. Estelle, if you get somebody that no matter what's said, they hang up, well, I can't give you dialogue that would fix that. You know, if somebody's going to hang up on you, they're going to hang up on you, and you're not going to get it. But if it keeps happening a lot to you, Estelle, it's because you're not handling it correctly. I don't know what the number is because there's no science. The real estate is not scientific. Real estate is an art form. And so
yeah.
like in any art, whether it's dancing or music or singing, you know, it's an expressive thing. It's not scientific. Yeah. So I can't tell you what the actual math is, but as a rule of thumb of my experience, that if you're calling five expireds and three or four of them are hanging up, then it's you doing that. It's not them. I could see maybe one out of 10 people might just hang up without you like even having a chance, but not almost every call. So if you look at what I did, what do you think was different with what I did than perhaps what you might do? So that way we can learn from this.
I wanted your perspective on things because I was quite impressed by in your seminar.
Yeah.
Your approach and the stories and that sort of thing. So I was looking to see if you had something unique that I wasn't already doing.
Yeah, you know what? Here's, and first of all, I don't know what you're doing, so I just put you on the seller's part. And it's probably, and I will say this, Estelle, when you're in the role play, sometimes it's hard to see what I'm doing because you're playing the other part, so it's hard to pay attention to my part. So there's a couple of things I'm going to suggest, okay? Number one is, when you sign into the Power Program website and you go in the word classroom, on the word classroom, you go down, you're going to see dialogue for, and it'll say calling expireds. And you're going to see the dialogue that I basically did. Now, a lot of it's customized based on what the person says.
Sure.
But the very top of the call, like no matter what somebody says to me, like if they're trying to rush me, you always want to stay at the beginning part of the call with the dialogue. And here's what I did almost every time. Hi, may I speak to Estelle? And you said yes. Well, hi, this is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. How are you? Fine. Listen, I don't have time to talk. You said that, blah, blah, blah. Here's the next dialogue. Well, that's fine, ma'am. I was just, the reason why I was calling is I'm looking at a copy of the MLS and I was wondering, is the house still for sale? That's all in that script, Estelle. So
okay.
No matter what they say, when they're trying to rush you off the phone, jump to the dialogue. What'll kill you, and I'm not meaning you, everybody on this call, what'll kill you on the phone is if you stumble or pause too long. And when I say too long, it's like a half a second. Because
okay.
Once you pause, that's the opening for them to say, okay, thank you, goodbye. So you don't want them to say, I don't have time to talk to you, so we're not interested. Click. I want to get in before the click. And that's what I did with you. So when you rushed me and you said, yeah, I can't believe you guys, I don't want to talk, we're not going to do this, thank you. I jumped in right away. Well, let me just ask you, Estelle.
Uh-huh.
I'm looking
okay.
at a copy of the listing. Is the house still for sale? No, it's not. So does that make sense what I'm saying?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so when you feel, so I'm trying to create like a rule of thumb here, and I think I got it. The rule of thumb is when you feel like they're going to hang up on you, do not let a pause happen. Jump right in with the next part of the script. And that's almost like sticking your foot in the front door before they shut it.
Sure.
Yeah. Great question, Estelle. Great question. And thank you so much. And listen, like I said, we just recorded this whole thing. It'll be posted next week. So sign back into the website, and you can right-click on the recording. When you right-click on it, the little window pops up, and it says Save As, and you can save the recording to your iTunes or to your computer or whatever, so that way you can listen to the dialogue again that we just did, okay?
Perfect. Thank you.
Oh, no, thank you. Great stuff. Now, I'm going to ask you to hit *6 again, and
okay.
That's going to put you back. That's going to mute you again, okay?
Okay, will do. Thank you so much, Daryl.
No, thank you, hon. All right, so now, does anybody else have a question you need coaching on? I think that was really great, and I really appreciate Estelle's question. I think there was a lot of value in what we just did. And what's really cool about that is last month we had a conversation, somebody was challenged with the FISBO. So between last month's role play and this month's role play, there's a lot of value there for you guys. Okay, so somebody else, what's your question that you have? Hit star 6 to unmute yourself, okay? Star 6. And give it a second. Do it one time. Hit star 6 on your keypad one time, and then you'll be able to ask me something. Nobody? Yeah, I hear somebody. Who is it?
Hi, Daryl. This is Lois.
I'm sorry. Who is this?
This is Lois.
Okay. Spell it for me. I'm sorry.
No problem. L-O-I-S.
Lois, I'm sorry. Okay, great. You know, sometimes these
questions... No problem.
All right, hon. So what's your question, Lois?
How do you overcome, when you're on a listing appointment, how do you overcome the, well, if I decide to list it with someone, I've got a cousin in the business, or I got a neighbor, or somebody I work with on the PTA, and if I gave it to you, they would be so offended. I would have to do it that way.
Okay, so great question, Lois. There's a couple of things on that. Number one is sometimes people make up this fictitious person as a way to get rid of a realtor. So that's a technique that I joke in the seminars that there's an actual training program for FISBOs. It was created in the 19th century by a Frenchman. His name is Jacques FISBO. And Jacques teaches these techniques that FISBOs learn. And this is one of their better techniques that they teach. Because when somebody says, I have a friend in the business, I can't not give it to them. That would hurt their feelings. That's really a hard one to handle. But no worries. I have a way to handle it, okay?
I thought you might.
So there's a couple of things. Number one is, you want to ask yourself a question, is this a real objection or is this a made-up person objection? Now, sometimes they may know somebody and it's really not a friend, it's an acquaintance, but they're telling you that they're a good friend because they don't want to list with you. So
yeah.
the first part is you want to make sure that you handled the objection so well. That you did the presentation so well that it truly is an honest, they do like you, they would like to list with you, but they do feel obligated. So if they don't like you and want to list with you, then they're lying to you, and that's the way they're getting you out the door. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, so now the reason why this is important, I'll get to the second part in a second. The reason why this is important you understand it is because if you use the technique that I'm about to give you, but really the truth is they just don't want to list with you because they don't like you or trust you or think you can do the job, then this technique I'm going to give you doesn't help you because it's really not the true objection. The true objection is they don't think you're worthy to list to give the listing to, and they're just trying.
I haven't earned their trust yet.
What's that?
I haven't earned their trust yet.
Yes, exactly. And instead of them saying to you, Lois, we just don't think you're a good agent. So they're not going to say that. So what they'll do is, we have a hair in the back of their mind. They're trying to think how to get you out of the house nicely without insulting you. So in the back of their mind, they say, we have this. I know a hairdresser who also has the real estate license. I'll just tell Lois that we have a really good friend who also does this other business, and she'd be upset if we. And so then they give that to you. You follow me, Lois?
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yeah, so how do you know if it's a real objection or if it's they're trying to just get you out the door? Well, that's your gut. If you've been in front of these homeowners now talking about listing with you for the past hour or so, and if you feel like you haven't been in the zone, you haven't been successfully communicating, you haven't presented well, like you would know after an hour if you're connected with these people and if they really like you and trust you or if you just didn't do a good job. So
you've got
to look internally to find out if this is real or not. So if it is a real objection and they really honestly, and by the way, Lois, maybe you could actually ask them. Well, let me ask you this question. if it wasn't for that friend, I mean, and see, this would be my style, and it might not be yours, Lois, but I if I feel like I'm not sure, I would say, let me ask you a question, and I'm totally okay with this, but do you really have a good friend, or are you just trying to be polite to me, saying that you just don't feel it, you know? So I might even say that. The other way you can go is, let me ask you, if it wasn't for your friend that you have, that you're worried about getting them upset, if it wasn't for that, would you then hire me?
Mm.
And that question, you want to not just listen to what they say, but how they say it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're now focused on, are these people lying or are they telling the truth? I'm lying to save my feelings. You'll
right.
pay attention more, you'll tune in, and you'll know the truth. All right, now, so let's say it really is somebody who they value the friendship. I would say this, Lois. I'd say, Lois, you know, one of the advantages, the reason why homeowners are not successful at selling on their own for as much as a realtor is because they're emotionally attached to the outcome. They're emotionally vested. You know, there is that expression, an attorney who represents themselves has a fool for a client. And the reason why that is, it's because it's hard for them to see things objectively because there's logic and there's emotion in our brain, yeah? So when you're logical, when you look at a business, and selling a house is a business, when you look at it from a business standpoint, you make business decisions that's going to produce the best results. But if you're emotional, that clouds your decision. It's almost like, if you're driving down the highway in a fog, you don't drive fast, you drive slow because you can't see what's in front of you. So by you driving slow, you're going to get where you're going, but a lot slower because you're not sure what's ahead. It's like so that's what a fog is. So when somebody's emotionally attached to the outcome, there's an emotional fog that makes it hard to see objectively what to do, what's the quickest and most effective way to get from point A to point B. Is this making sense what I'm saying, Lois?
Yes, it is.
So the problem when anybody hires a friend in anything, there's an emotional fog in the relationship, and that friend can't make the best, wisest business decisions because of that fog. Now you're not getting the result or getting it to the quickest way you want. That's problem number one. Number two is firing a friend or somebody you care about their feelings is different than firing somebody that you don't care about. See, with me, we just met. Here's what I know about you. Assuming we move forward together, if I'm not doing my job, you'll have no problem in calling me up to fire me. And by the way, if you did, if you are so, like, it would be hard for you to fire anybody. If it was hard for you to fire me and I just met you, how hard would it be for you to fire your friend that you care about what they feel?
Yeah,
probably.
You got a point there.
What's that?
You got a point there.
You know, what I've seen happen time and time again, when homeowners mix friendship with business, it never works because one of two things is sacrificed. It's either the selling the house effectively or the friendship. And if you really do care about your friendship, don't get involved in the business. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Now, let me do this for you, Lois, because I want to give you the best of both worlds. Here's what I'm going to do for you. Let's get this paperwork going. I want you to sign the listing. I'm going to get started on this right away. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull back just a week on blasting this out, okay? I'm still going to put it on the MLS and everything. But before I do the broker's open house and roll it out, I'm going to call your friend. I'm going to have a conversation with them about the struggle that you had in making this decision. But because you care so much about them, you cared more about the friendship than about you selling the house. And so I'll have that conversation for you. And I'm going to give them like a mini exclusive. It'll still be on MLS, but I want to give them a personal phone call, give them a heads up, see who they know, see what we can do, and give them VIP treatment in trying to sell this property. So that way they'll get at least the other half of the commission on the sales side, and I'll work with them. All right, that's what I'll do for you. Okay.
Wow, that's pretty good, Darryl.
All right. I like to think I got an answer for everything, Lois.
Yeah. No, I really, really like the way you handled that, because you got past the objection in a way that showed respect and honor and offered something to this friend. I could see a homeowner going for that. That's very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. And here's now let's just look at a skill piece in what I just did, too. What I did was I didn't just handle the objection. Now, this is very important, everybody, what I'm going to say. There's another little skill piece that sometimes we miss, and it's the nuance of things, meaning that what we'll do is focus on just the dialogue, like, okay, let's look at what Daryl said and how he handled it. But I want you to go beyond what I said and look at the delivery and the whole picture, meaning, and Lois, this is not just for you, this is for everybody, right? That there is another piece that I did that was really, really important. Not only did I say the right things to handle it, but I didn't pause to feel your reaction, meaning that I handled it and I jump right to closing you. So I handled it. I said what I said about the friend. Da, 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 da. You know what? And here's what I'm going to do for you, Lois. Let me call. I want you to sign the form. When you do that, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to give them a VIP, and I'm going to give them and take care of them so they're special, okay? So just okay the form right there.
Yeah.
So not only did I handle it, but I moved the ball down the court to quickly close it so there's no more thinking. There's no more objections. Does that make sense, what I just said?
Yes, it does.
Yeah. So everybody, what you want to do is you want to look at, and Lois, what you want to look at is a listing. When you're calling FSBOs, when you're calling expireds, when you're on a listing appointment, there's a goal that you want to accomplish. And I hope I don't sound like a too much of a salesman with everything that I'm saying, using the word close and all that stuff. But the end result is we want them to list with us if that's the best thing for them, or on the phone to give us an appointment. Everything that you say is to move closer to that goal. You're not going to get there at the very beginning of the listing conversation. You're not going to have that happen very quickly on the telephone. But whenever there's an objection, you know, I'm not into sports, but, you know, if you use football as an example, I mean, I've watched it on television, so I know what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're on the offense and you're trying to take that football down the field to get to that goal, and somebody tackles you, which would be a seller's objection, you know, you pick yourself up and you hut, go and go again. So you want to handle it, but keep the ball moving to that end goal, which is get the listing or get the appointment. So don't ever just think of how do I handle an objection? It's handled. So there's two parts, right? There's handling the objection and then move the conversation to the goal quicker again.
Right.
And keep doing that. Keep doing this. All right. So I think that's a great question. Great question. All right.
Thanks,
so, Jeff. You're welcome, hon. So everybody, I think we did a lot of great work here as far as this call. We've only got 5 minutes, so I'm just going to real quick point out a couple of things that's in the magazine this month. So I forgot to mention, this month we did something different. So every month we interview a top agent, and then we post that recording, and we transcribe the recording and put it into the magazine. Well, this month what we did is Joanne Mills, who does our recordings, we decided to interview me. So she wanted to interview me and talk about designing a life worth smiling about, which is the title of my third book that I just McGraw-Hill just published a couple of months ago. So I think it's a really great interview. It was weird for me to be interviewed by Joanne. And so listen to that recording. I think it's really good. And there's a transcript of it. Now, after the transcript, gang, in the magazine, starting on page 29, there's a lot of flyers and ideas that I gave you to improve your listing appointment. I want to just point out a couple real quick in our remaining 4 minutes, is on page 29, just make notes of this so you can look at it later. There's a flyer that says Broker's Open House, and it's a great visual to use on a listing appointment when you're explaining to a homeowner, broker's open house, public open house. So, I mean, you wouldn't use what's on page 29. That's another agent's. This is a sample. But that's something you can put in your listing book. Page 30, and the other thing I wanted to show you, Jim Bowden, what he does, he has a picture of his office, and it's called a lobby picture board. Now, what's really the reason why I put that in there is I wanted you to see when you're talking about marketing or you're talking about your office and credibility, wherever you can use real pictures in a listing book, the better it is. So, you know, get your iPhones or your Androids, whatever, take a lot of pictures, print it out, and use real pictures in your listing book. It's a lot better. The other thing, let me see, missing price listing. There is a great, on page 32, there is a great format. Oh, and wait till I love 33. 32, there's a great evaluation that you would use on a list on a broker's open house that the agents, instead of filling out an opinion sheet at a broker's open house, they would just use these numbers to number condition, price, so they can do it a lot quicker. And it's a really great format, page 32. Page 33 is a great, awesome, powerful tool that shows your past clients and their phone numbers, and it encourages a homeowner to call these people. Now, obviously, you're not going to put on there people that don't like you, but let me tell you how to use page 33. I would not use that on a listing appointment in the beginning. I would use that at the end of a listing appointment if you did not get the listing. So if you go on a listing appointment and you do what you do and they still don't list with you, okay, then what I would do is say, hey, listen, let me give you this sheet of my clients, some of my clients in the past, you know, couple of years. I encourage you, there's their phone numbers, call them and see what they thought about working with me. That's powerful, powerful. I love that. And there's so much good stuff in this. Page 36 in the magazine starts a few pages that says, it's like, here's all the marketing tools that you use. And what you can do, page 36, 37, 38, there's two thoughts on that. Number one is you can create a brochure around this. So this is an agent who does it, and this would give you ideas to create like your own brochure. And it doesn't have to be a fancy brochure. You can create it just the way it is and just put your information on it. The other thing that you can do with this, if people ask me, how should I create a listing book? I told you there's three sections. Validate you. Second, validate your company. Third is your marketing. Well, if you look at page 36, 37, 38, this might give you ideas in that third section what you would show a homeowner on what you do to market property. So I wouldn't talk about all of these things. That would be way too long of a listing appointment, but it'll give you ideas on how to put your book together. I love this. Page 41 is a raffle idea. Pay attention to that because we're coming to the holidays. Page 42, same thing. And let me just see if there's anything else. Yeah, there's some great stuff in here. That's it. We're done. It's 12 o'clock. I mean, I can always keep talking. I love doing what I do, but I know some of you got to go. So, listen, thanks for calling in, everybody. Now, don't forget, we don't just list and sell real estate. This is life-changing for people. We help people get from point A to point B in their life, yeah? So what you do, the more people you help move from point A to point B, the more lives you're changing, and the money that you make is a gauge as to how many people's lives you've touched in the area specific to real estate. So go change a lot of lives, and the money will follow. God bless you. Thanks for calling in, and don't forget to keep smiling. All right, gang, talk to you on the next call. Bye-bye.